Welcome back to the SBP Podcast, Mobile Filmmaking. I'm your host, Susie Botello, and you're listening to episode 181.
We are Fade Into Film.
Hey, so we're back on the podcast after a really awesome film festival. The International Mobile Film Festival took place in San Diego, April 26th through the 28th. And we met a lot of fantastic people, a lot of wonderful, bright humans who happened to love storytelling and shared their movies shot with smartphone cameras. So not going to talk about that right now. We're going to talk about that probably next week with the team. But for this episode, this is the version that we recorded during the film festival. But before we do that, I got to give a big shout out to Aaron Nabuz for recording with his iPhone the entire session. And that's what you're about to listen to. It's a little echoey. It's in a room. It's not in our private studios at home. So there is a little difference in the sound. But what's more important is the content. It's the conversation and the discussion we had with everyone who attended the film festival this year. So if you're ready, let's go. Welcome to the SBP Podcast, Mobile Filmmaking at the International Mobile Film Festival.
We're live.
So I'm your host, Susie Botello, and here with me today, a miracle has happened. We have our three Fade Into Film panelists. We have Joey Min.
Hello.
We have Levi Austin Powers. No, Morris.
Oh, I like
Levi Austin Morris. And we have Ryan McDonald.
Hey, everybody, how's it going?
He went a handsome man.
So today we have a great show planned out for you, which we just rehearsed about 3 minutes ago, right? We at least have some topics that we're going to talk about.
There we go.
So we're going to be discussing crowdfunding. We're going to be talking about always learning. And we're going to be talking about always practicing and executing.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about my dog. No, we're not.
Tico.
T-I-K-O. So listen, I'm glad. I just have to say this. It's a real pleasure and an honor. I know everybody in the audience, because I just asked, is listening to our podcast. So it's really nice to be able to see you when I speak with you here, but also when we keep recording episodes of the SBP Podcast Mobile Filmmaking online, we will know you. We will see your faces as we're speaking. Got it, guys?
I'll be speaking to each and every one of you next time we record.
That's right. Yes. So without further ado, I just want to start off really quick by thanking Joey for his wonderful action filmmaking smartphone.
Thank you.
And Levi Austin Morris has been, he is one of our judges for the film festival. And I thank you for coming down to do this crazy recording that we're going to do.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And also for watching two feature films.
Yeah. And they were fantastic.
Yeah. And Ryan McDonald is actually has a film in the film festival. And he brought his two little girls that are also filmmakers. They are 11 and 8.
11 and 8
years old, and they're also here. Alyssa and Sophie. Well, let's get down to business, guys. Ching, 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 ching.
Sorry.
Move on for a moment. Yeah.
So Joey, I know you've been in San Diego before.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
What did you think about the sunshine that we had? The sun came out for us.
I mean, it's a lot chillier than I expected. Yeah. Like, you know, I was like, okay, it's San Diego, it's probably, you know, palm trees and it's hot and it's a beach or some shit. And I come here and it's like, wow, it's fucking freezing. It's Jersey weather.
Yeah.
It's Jersey weather.
You're right next to the ocean.
Yeah. It actually, I think that right now it's chillier here than in Jersey.
It is.
Yeah. It is. See, I know things.
And now you know when we complain about the cold.
Yeah, I guess
we're serious.
Yeah, I mean you're talking about like that. Yeah. That's are crazy.
The ocean water's cold too. I went out there.
Yeah.
Right. It's cold.
But
yeah.
It's cold and the sun is out and that's real weird confusing. For me. Yeah.
The Pacific. There's no heat. It's the Pacific. It's always cold in the Pacific. When especially if you're used to the other
side. But I'm right next to the Atlantic.
It's true.
So you know, it's you know.
It is what it is. Ryan and Levi have met before in our film festival a few years ago, but we've never met Joey in person, and we are not at all disappointed. We're very pleased. We're happy.
I act exactly the same. Yeah. We were going to come every other week.
Yeah.
This is exactly me.
I'd like to start off with something that I think our audience here and our listeners are going to appreciate. We're going to talk about crowdfunding.
Sure.
And the expert on crowdfunding, at this table at least, would be Levi. And so Levi, would you explain a little bit about crowdfunding? And first of all, talk about why I'm even insisting that you discuss this topic, because something you did last year for your feature film Paralysis was really awesome. And you learned a lot from that process, right?
Sure, yeah. I mean, yes, I guess you said specifically, like, I know why I was going to talk about it, but what did you want? Like, what were you
implying? Well, because the reason, my implication was that because you did such a great job with your crowdfunding campaign for Paralysis, which is a mobile feature film, I thought that this would be ideal as opposed to getting, you know, some person from Netflix who made a Marvel movie talks about crowdfunding, because that's not even gonna happen.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, I mean, crowdfunding is it's a bitch, I'm gonna be honest. It is a very difficult thing to do. But for us, we did a feature and we knew that we weren't gonna have the funds to do it because making a feature is expensive. Like, I've done many short films prior to that and I just paid for it out of my own pocket. And I knew going into Paralysis that we needed more equipment. We needed, you know, more people. We were feeding our people and it wasn't just pizza, you know? So we needed an actual budget.
Yes.
And so we did all the pre-production to figure out roughly what we could shoot the film on. And we realized it would be, there's a number of different crowdfunding websites or sites like Indiegogo, Kickstarter, Seed and Spark, which is the one that we used, and GoFundMe. Like, there's a bunch of different crowdfunding websites. And I chose Seed and Spark. They also have a lot of really fantastic tutorials online. So if anybody is considering crowdfunding, I do recommend going on YouTube and looking up Seed and Spark's tutorials on how to make an effective and successful crowdfunding campaign. And so I deep dove into research so that I could figure out how to create the most effective one. Because I think a lot of times when you are doing crowdfunding, you get those pitch videos that are just, I'm the director of this film, this is what I'm doing. And it's just kind of talking at you.
It becomes kind of generic.
And monotonous. And like, and you want to excite the people to give you their money. So, you know, and I think another thing that a lot of people do wrong crowdfunding, and they talk about it a little bit in the Seed and Spark tutorials, is you're just, like, nobody really knows what your project is. So, like, if you're just making a project and slapping the name of your film on it, that is not as exciting as something that is, like, more engaging or fun or unique or personal for that
a little bit like bringing the humanity side of it?
Yeah, so one of the things that we did that was incredibly successful for our campaign, because our film Paralysis is about a woman who is suffering from sleep paralysis, and there's a sleep paralysis demon that visits her in the night, and we went to the 99 cent store and bought these little plush dolls, and then we took Sharpies and permanent markers and made them creepy little hag. The old hag was our demon, and so we made little creepy hag dolls out of them, and to make it more personal, anybody who contributed a certain amount, we would write just a very short little story of how that doll came to haunt that person. And we ended up, like, I think in our campaign, like 13 to 15 of them, we ended up having to make and sell off to, and it cost me $1 to make those, you know? So it was like super cheap way to get people interested. It's like a fun thing for them. But yeah, I mean, I think like making your perks, if you're gonna do the perks, more personal and not even tangible things. Like there are fun things that you can do to engage your audience, because if you do like it costs money to sell these things or these things.
So let's build a little bit of a map.
Okay. Right?
So you would start out, you have your project that you want to get funded.
Yeah.
Right. And then once you have that in mind and you've solidified that in some way, right? Because that helps you set goals, right? So when you did that, you go about, you begin. And you don't just begin with marketing dolls and things like that, but...
We had production meetings where we came together and we discussed things that would not cost us money, that were creative ways to engage people. And one of the things that we ended up doing was we did a hashtag challenge to come up with sort of the slogan for our film. And so a number of people sent in their hashtag, and we did end up sending off like a $15 gift card to Subway, to the winner. So it's not a lot of money, but a lot of people are really excited to engage in that way. So they know the synopsis of the film, and that's it. And so they're trying to come up with a hashtag. And our
so when you get into the account, right, into the profile, the link that they open when they click
on it. We created
a
Google Drive where they could go and they could submit their thing. And it was just a very easy thing. And the winning hashtag for us was Sweet Screams, which has become the hashtag for our film. It became the slogan for our film. And it appears in all of our marketing. And so it's
you
just
you have to write some kind of a copy or something like that that's enticing to even get people to look further, because there's so many of these things out there, right, on the
what do you mean?
So okay, so let's say I'm an idiot. Mm-hmm. Don't laugh. Okay, laugh. But let's say I'm an idiot and I'm hearing for the first time that there's this thing called crowdfunding, right? So I go there and I look at this website and I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed with information and tutorials and things like that. And I'm just like, I'm just trying to get funding for my little film or my big film or my whatever project, right? So you first thing, you know, what is your project called? Well, yeah, it's this, but maybe that doesn't have to be the title, the heading, you know, the enticing heading title for this campaign, because it is kind of a campaign, right? Crowdfunding.
Oh, absolutely.
And then you have to add a description and you have to somehow identify yourself, right?
But wouldn't at that point mean that you haven't thought about your project?
Yeah.
Because like crowdfunding should be the last thing.
Yes.
You should have that's a good point. Yeah.
You need to know what your project is. You need to know, like, you need to have your script ready. Like, we had, everything was prepared. We were just at that point. And again, I researched which platform I wanted to use, and Seed and Spark is fantastic with their tutorials. So I do recommend, if you are going to crowdfund, watch those tutorials. They also have to approve you before you can even go live. They're not going to allow you to go live until they think you could be successful. And so there were a few things that we did have to change. And one of the things that we were a little upset about was that we had shot a concept trailer, and then we had our pitch video, and we kept our pitch video engaging, we kept it funny, we kept it succinct, and we had little fun things in the video. But they wanted it shorter, so they were like, cut the pitch video, just do the talking heads, And I was like, I'm not cool with that. So I ended up cutting just a very short part of our pitch into it. And we released our concept trailer the day before we went live so that people could see what we could do prior to actually going live with the campaign. So we're like, this is, look at what we can do. And then the next day we were like, by the way, we're looking for funding. It didn't take very long. Like, we raised the money pretty quick. And we exceeded our money, which was great. And and the thing is, we also, the thing that I recommend, that Seed & Spark also recommends, is splitting your campaign. Because it's a lot to be upfront to say, we need $30,000. But if you figure out exactly what you need for production first, and you have a production campaign first, and you say in your pitch, we will be having a post-production expense campaign later, but right now we're just raising the production campaign funds. It makes it less intimidating for people who are considering contributing. So we raised, the goal was $9,000 for the first campaign. We raised, I think, just under $11,000. And then the second campaign was, and we shot the film in $17,000. The second campaign, the goal was $5,500, and we raised almost $7,500. So we exceeded on both, which was great, because then that was less stressful for us. I will say something, and this is like off the cuff, because right now I am like, and I think I can share this, so I'm going to share this. We got a distribution deal, which is very exciting. However, there are costs with distribution, and that is something that I did not consider before. So in the future, if I do crowdfunding, I will be considering that in raising money, because it ends up being quite a bit more money. So keep that in mind if you are considering.
So you want to put your budget together.
Yeah, what yeah, yeah. You need. Like, be aware of where all the expenses are going to be.
Yes.
And plan ahead for that. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
But you wouldn't know all of that until you actually.
Exactly. It was and it's something that, like, for this one now, I'm like, oh, okay. So in the future, I know, like, if I'm going to crowdfund again, which I don't want to, I'd like to find investors. So if you are interested in investing in an indie filmmaker, I'm very good.
But that's still pretty awesome, though, Levi, because you exceeded your expectations with it.
Yeah. And that. With that exceeded financing, we were able to submit to more film festivals. And it worked well for us. You know, like, that's the route that we chose to do, was the festival route. And we were in, I think, 15 festivals, and we won 10 awards. So it was like, it felt good and validating as a filmmaker to have that. And now it's like, let's go into the next one. You know, like,
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, Joey.
Yes.
Let's talk about that. Well, actually, Ryan, let's talk about the always learning, always learning the Ryan thing.
Oh, the Ryan thing. Thank you, by the way, for all the insight on the crowdfunding. This certainly is something I would want to pick your brain about. So that's something that I haven't tried yet, is crowdfunding. So
it is a full-time job.
So you have a lot of work that you could show people. I'm sure people would be like, definitely easier for you.
No, I appreciate that. So what I want to chat about is kind of like always learning, and I want to preface this by saying that I probably come off as pretty pretentious sometimes around saying, when I was younger, I really wanted to go to film school. And in Utah, at the time that I was growing up, around the early 2000s, they didn't have film school in college. And so I knew already that I had to move out of state. And I did. And I did go to film school at a university. And I'm very proud of that. But I realized at the same time, it sounds massively pretentious when I say it every time. So I want everybody to know that Judge Dredd with Sylvester Stallone is one of my favorite films still. And also, I'll throw in Batman and Robin by Joel Schumacher every once in a while, just as a kick. I'll get drunk at a party and be like, you know what?
I'm with it.
I'll get drunk at a party and be like, Speed 2 is what we're watching tonight. So, all being said, art film or not, like, I still enjoy a good commercial blockbuster or failure kind of thing like that. But one of the things that is that very oftentimes I find myself still consuming learning material around the medium itself. And in your workshop earlier, you were mentioning Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin, and like, it's like you were going back again to those guys, and there's a moment where it's like sometimes I'll be speaking with I'm on set, somebody's directing, and it's kind of like they don't really have a pitch for like who is inspiring this next shot, what we're doing next. And I find sometimes they're not watching enough movies. Mm-hmm. They're really just not consuming enough material. They're not listening to enough interviews. And we live in an era where we have so many YouTube videos where the Matt Damons and Ben Affleck are talking about how they made Good Will Hunting, on why they did it, and why they wrote the monologues for.
Well, a while back, remember HBO used to have, you know, those.
They had the Greenlight.
The making of projects as well.
Yeah, really awesome. I used to record those on VHS.
Me too, but who won't?
DVD featurettes and shit.
Yeah. Everyone, DVDs had production notes. That was it.
right.
Digitally flipped through. And so I find myself consuming that type of material, and the value that I find in there is you find a lot of tricks that they're doing. And if you're simply just moving forward and you're not watching enough of the old films or the new films, or really just digesting every trick that they're telling you, you're gonna miss some of the bigger pieces. Here's an example. Tenet, which I still love. I don't care if you
I love it.
I don't care if you hear the dialogue. I know when I go into a Chris Nolan flick, it's gonna be a little bit muffled. Mm. But a lot of the magic in it is just basically reversing the footage. Like the picking up of things that goes all the way back to when Malaise was doing it. It's just simply reversing the footage, and it's such a trick that people are overlooking sometimes. And so when we talk about like practical effects compared to like CGI effects, it's like, but if we just look at how they did it practically, and it doesn't have to be the thing, by John Carpenter kind of practical effect, but it's simply just the way that one shot connects to in the next shot.
I mean, and we've talked. Sorry,
yeah.
But like we talked a little bit in the podcast before, and you mentioned that like there's a trend on TikTok of like how to do a transition.
Yeah,
it's like
transition.
This is literally something that you can see in an old movie.
It's called
yeah, exactly.
It's called
within the context of today, we got to keep remembering that there's different generations, and where they're absorbing that to learn from is a different medium.
And so. I'm not on TikTok, so I'm not as irritated about TikTok. But the way I see it is that you have a generation of people who, whether they know it or not, are editing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're doing basic edits where they have like where they're doing this like T-shirt thingy pull, and all of a sudden it pops into like they're wearing like a swimsuit or something like that. that's a 100-year-old trick. But then as you were saying. Around like action editing and things like that. Like some people might do something completely different, and it looks CGI, and it looks fake, and it looks crap. It's like, dude, the mastery is already there.
Yeah.
If we just look backwards into it.
Yeah.
And so I recently read the autobiography by George Malaise and Ayu, and it was like the way that he found that trick of editing. So you know, nowadays we record something and we see it instantly. But when he records something, he can't even go process it himself. He has to ship it off to go be processed.
Right.
So he's waiting like weeks, right?
Yeah.
So he's like spinning the camera. It's like recording downtown. And this is a time when that was very magical to record downtown because you didn't see photos of things around. Like, you couldn't just Google it or whatever, right? Or take a picture of it and tell you what planted this. So he's doing this, and then it jammed on him. And he was like, oh, crap. And so he restarted it, and he went like this. Now, he ships it out.
For the listeners in audio.
Oh, sorry, I'm doing a little spinny hand thing here. The magic trick is this. but he ships it out, and when he gets it back, he sees that like there's a jump cut moment, which had not been invented yet at the time. Sorry, there's some air quotes in there. But like there's a jump cut moment from the people who right before the camera jammed to the next spot. Now there's a bus, and everybody magically changed. And that's when he was like, wait a second, that's a trick.
Yeah,
there's a trick there in the edit. And this is before like the Russians figured out like, montage and things like that. Like,
yes.
So it's like, but I'm reading it though, still like a person who's graduated film school who's made X amount of short films and feature film, and I'm still blown away that was like how we figured that out.
Right.
And there are times when we're on set and we're talking about something like just every once in a while it's nice to be like, hey, this is the Citizen Kane shot. Just somebody on set knows what you're talking about for a second. Kind of thing. But there are other times where someone wants to make a horror film, and if I ask them what are your influences, if I read the script and I can't find it, and I ask them and they don't know, it's, I get weary about the project. But when I'm reading it, I'm like, dude, this is De Palma right here, and this is Hitchcock right here. It's like, I'm all on board, and that person says, oh yeah, well, because De Palma, as we know, he knows, he's understood the language of cinema. He's watched the Hitchcockian films. He's looked at it way back. And in every, even if, and I think that as any young person who wants to get into filmmaking, every person that you love who's doing it, if you just took a second, they love somebody else who did it.
That's right.
They're inspired by something else and just go further deep down the rabbit hole of a thing. And that's my
And that's how you're always learning.
That's my you know, the blade is on fire, I'm on a horse, I'm running towards the battle. That's my cry. Because that's my war cry.
You go back in time, you see the most distilled version of whatever it is that you're trying to do. So like, oh, then you can kind of see through all of the variations that preceded it. You know, I get it. Exactly. I mean, that's funny how
it's good to diversify the sources that you're using to learn from. Mm-hmm. And even if you're just, I mean, if you're passionate, you're naturally gravitating towards things like that. But you have to also, we're in a place at this time when media is coming at you from all different angles. But it's good to keep that in mind that, hey, I know what I want. I know what I'm looking for. And I'm looking to enhance and to better my filmmaking. And it's not going to happen overnight. And it's good for me to find these ways and look in different mediums. Look at the Google. I'm not sure about TikTok, but you know, whatever. Go to YouTube, listen to podcasts, you know, and read books.
Watch old movies.
Yeah. Well, and now like, podcasting is the new blog in a sense, and so many filmmakers and actors now are on a podcast of some sort.
Like right now.
Yeah. And so what I do through my mundane task, right now. When I'm mowing the lawn or I'm washing the dishes or something like that, like I'm listening to somebody speak about how they make movies. Like, if Mel Brooks did a podcast with TCM recently that I listened to, and so it's just kind of always like catching that. When William Friedkin passed away, I started just hitting the button on every interview piece that he was talking about. And he was talking about, you know, he would shoot movies that are masterpieces like French Connection or The Exorcist, and he would tell people like, "Yeah, you got one take on this one." I'm thinking to myself, Jesus Christ, dude, like, that's a focus pull in half. But then I shot my short film, Ancient Evil Frankencock, and I thought, I told some people, but we had a couple moments where it was like, I don't have time for so I'm letting them out. I was like, we're hitting start, we're going to do, you'll do it, I'll say reset, we'll do it again, we'll reset, we move on. Mm. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, dude, you got three takes, you got three tries on this, or one, and we're out of here.
I don't know.
That was covered.
Oh, no, that's fine. Got it. All right.
But so, again, I'm just the idea of pulling from the masters that were for you. And maybe it's just the landscape I come from. There's a lot of people from in the Utah area that they're trying to make something that is like they'll reference something that just happened last year. And like, that's the movie I want to make. It's like, don't make that one. Because maybe find out what they were thinking of when they made their movie, and might go way back into like some avant-garde kind of thing, and deep dive down that rabbit hole, and then come back out the other side, homie.
Right,
like,
exactly.
That's it.
I mean, if you don't have the skill set to do what they did last year, if you don't have the skill set for that, which comes from like, you know, like starting the old stuff, like how are you gonna do it, right?
Yeah.
Then you're just kind of copying at that point.
Yeah.
And plagiarism is not good.
No.
But Joey,
yes,
that's a great segue into not that, but a great segue into what you were talking about, which is always practicing and executing.
Because building off of what Ryan said, it's like it's good to study, but I do know a lot of filmmakers that, you know, they do study a lot, right? But they make a film like once every 7 years, and their previous film and their recent film doesn't have a lot of difference in terms of skill set or whatever. And I think that's the thing. Like, I think when I started YouTube, you know, putting our films on YouTube, like being a filmmaker on YouTube doesn't really make a lot of sense, but what it taught me was it forced discipline on me. So like having the pressure of a deadline, even though there is no deadline, like it's an abstract feeling, right? Like I was forced to write a script and like shoot it and complete it, and I started finishing it rather than perfecting it. And then along the way, after like a decade or something, I could see the growth. But yeah. So I kind of started developing this idea where it's quality through quantity.
Yes.
And so for everything, and it also kind of, as a filmmaker, all the scripts and all the stuff that I did that were not good, I got it out there and people rejected it, people made fun of it, mm-hmm. and that's good. And after 10 years of that, I know what, it doesn't bother me when I do something wrong, right? And as opposed to somebody who just makes two films in 10 years, and then, one doesn't do well, and now they're burnt out, oh, I don't want to make a movie again. Come on, you can do it. Yeah. I get it. So, and that's why, with the mobile phones and stuff like that, filming, that shouldn't take too long, because at least you get to learn.
You get to do more smaller.
It's still distilled. You learn the basics of filmmaking. Like I said, it's always the, besides the story, it's the technical aspect. It's the shot composition, shot progression, right? Mm-hmm. Then anything after that, you could go into, the editing or lighting or sound or whatever, you could learn that after, but learning just how to just put something, frame something well is a skill in itself that I know directors.
I remember in one of our first, I think it was the first episode, you were saying something about that, where you were talking about you geek out right on the tech, mm-hmm. so many times that then all of a sudden that becomes your second layer, subconsciously you know it, and now you can really get to the creative part of filmmaking.
Right, because there are certain skill sets and certain techniques that is only unlocked after a certain gear is acquired, but the camera itself, it's already better than all the digital cameras from 2001, right? Like I said, I love my DVX, I have it on an altar, basically just to remind me of my stuff, but even then, that thing can't do what an iPhone 14 can do, right? It doesn't autofocus, it doesn't change your magically change your f-stop for you, what the heck, but with that though, with the phone, if you know how to look at something, hopefully as a filmmaker, and you want to keep getting better at your craft, you probably have the itch to be like, how can I make the shot better, or how can I make the story better, or how can I make the sound better, then you kind of specialize, and that's the type of director that you become, right?
You really develop your voice as a filmmaker, as a director.
Exactly. Yeah. The shots.
And that's the thing to focus on, is the story and how you want to tell it.
Right. Yeah.
And not to be confused with what I was saying, sorry, you absolutely should continue to make movies. You should not just sit there in a dark room and just read.
No, but I think both of those.
I do both, and I watch in my own films. I'm like, that sucked, and then I do something else. So absolutely, I feel the same way. You're saying is just quality, just quantity.
Yeah.
I think the incentive is by doing.
Yeah. It's like a trial by fight, right?
I think it's a very you have to be a prodigy to look at a film and somehow dissect, oh my god, that's a really cool thing, and somehow automatically know a way or a version to execute it.
Even through your own stuff, how many you're saying, as far as you have terms for each of the types of shots, but mm-hmm. you acquired that over time. You figured it out, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's simply because, like I said, we didn't go to film school, and my crew, they were more actors, talent, right? Mm-hmm. But I need extra people. I need people to help run the camera or whatnot. And then, they don't know anything. So I'm trying to make it as simple as possible. So it's this is a Street Fighter shot. But next thing the first time. The Street Fighter shot before, there's a lot of empty space and all that. But then, throughout projects and projects of doing the same thing, Steph kind of understood it. And now mm-hmm. she's my DP. And now she's manning 30-man teams, right? That's crazy to think. I remember the first time we filmed with her, I had this other filmmaker with us, and he was looking at her shot. He's kind of weird. He was looking at her shot, and he slapped her hand. Like when she was like, yeah, like kind of, I was like, what the heck? Yeah. Like it's funny. And now she's like way farther. He is, right?
Slap his hand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I think, you know, we're running out of time. Sorry.
Sure.
But when you piece this together is, you know, you start, you get your project in mind that you want to create, you want to make this film, right? You get started on it, and once you're starting on it, you're executing your project.
Yeah, learning.
Somewhere,
learn the craft.
But
yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
But once you're executing that, you start to, your creative mind starts saying, I want to do something like this or like that. And how do I do this to make it work right? And that's when you start digging in, and next thing you know, it opens up the Pandora's box almost, mm-hmm. of all these options and possibilities. And literally, especially with the phone, you can start practicing how I make that
yeah.
shot before you actually take the phone again to make that happen. And then once you've got that, you go crowdfunding.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Make sure it happens.
I mean, I would say, like, for myself, I did about 10 years doing sketch comedy for
yes.
online, and that was really my film school, because
yeah.
I didn't go to
exactly.
film school
yeah.
either. I was a theater major. And so it really, I learned new techniques, you know, and then, like, consuming as much media as possible. Like, you learn, but you don't go from,
well, you
I'm inspired
and
I'm gonna crowdfund
yeah.
and make a feature.
But I think that's
yeah.
a spark. It's a
yeah.
spark.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you're
but the funny thing is, I'm sure you guys know a lot of people that don't do film, don't study film,
yeah.
and somehow like, I'm gonna make a movie because they just have the means to,
yeah.
and they do that. And they have
yeah,
like the first film syndrome, and it's like, oh,
yeah,
it was my first feature film.
Yeah.
It looks subpar, but they're really proud of it, and you can't help but like, yeah, dude, you know what? Yeah, feel that fire.
Yeah,
right? Go,
yeah.
Keep going, keep going.
Yeah, for sure.
I wouldn't
yeah.
tell anybody, no, don't do it.
Yeah.
But I will be weary of being on that project.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
No, I am.
Yeah, yeah.
Person
yeah.
director, and I, you know, if they're sitting there and they're hitting all the words that I would hit, you know, as far as like the films that they're watching and whatnot, I'm like, all right, I'm down
yeah,
for that.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So yeah, you
but,
can go hiking barefoot, but you know.
But yeah.
yeah.
I'm sorry,
we're out of time.
Okay.
So I just wanted to give you guys, I hope this was fun.
Yeah.
I hope it was
always,
fun for you guys.
Always.
It's fun
yeah.
to actually be together.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 So thank you, Joey,
yes.
Levi, Ryan.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank
I
you,
elbowed Ryan
yeah.
for audio listeners because he happened to be right here. And we've got our filmmakers coming in the door ready for that red carpet show we're
yes.
going to do. And we'll see you next week.
Next
week on the podcast.
When it's released.
When it releases,
yes.
We'll see you next week on the podcast when it's released, or next week when someone's listening and we're recording again.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, thank
yeah.
you guys. And I'll say goodbye to our listeners.
Bye, guys.
It's always fun.
Bye. Yeah.
Hey, thank you for listening. This was the entire recording from the show, the episode that we recorded live in person during the International Mobile Film Festival. But I can't say thank you enough to the guys for coming out and their willingness to participate and experiment, because this was our first time doing this, of course. It may not be the last, but it was definitely at least the first time. I also want to thank all the filmmakers who submitted films, all the filmmakers whose films were selected, and all the filmmakers who were able to come in person to the International Mobile Film Festival. I'm including some links in the notes. Please go and check them out. One of them is a link to the awards, so you can see who won at the film festival. Another one is for the sponsors of the film festival. And the other ones are what you see regularly. But also, I wanted to invite you to subscribe to the newsletter so you can receive updates directly in your email, as opposed to go looking around on social media. Thank you very much for everything, everyone. And Aaron, big shout out to you. Thanks for recording this so that we could share it with our listeners wherever you may be.